You'll see a notice in the bulletin that we're just warming up to do the enrolment for First Communion, for First Reconciliation, happening later in October. And one of the things that I'll be talking to the children about in reconciliation as they prepare to make their first reconciliation is understanding the difference between right and wrong. And right and wrong isn't always associated with good and bad. It's like yes and no. No can be good and yes can be bad. It really depends on the mind and the heart of the person who is saying these things and doing or not doing the things. So in the first reading today from Ezekiel and from the Gospel, we have a pretty clear message to ourselves, but it was pretty specific in its original audience. It was to the chief priests and the elders, the leaders of the people, that we have to take responsibility for our actions. And it's okay to change our mind. But if you make a promise and you make a vow, then you are going to be meeting that promise somewhere in the future. And if you don't live to that promise, then you have determined your future. Then Jesus goes on to give the example of the two sons. And why I started talking about reconciliation is because the story of the two sons just reminds me of first reconciliation, hearing confessions of little kids. Truly, it's like being stoned to death by marshmallows. They will inevitably say something about, I didn't do as mum or dad said, inevitably. And that's usually followed by they beat up their brother or sister. The standard things. And our whole task in the 4 weeks that we lead them into preparation is to get them to go beyond just little things and see, for example, with obedience to parents coming from tonight's gospel, that the important thing is there that if you say you're going to do something, then do it. It's easy to say it, but it's sometimes very hard to do. And it makes no difference. They don't have to be sons. They can be daughters. It makes no difference at all, because the responsibility and the acceptance of our actions belongs equally. And it's a fascinating part in child education to try to get the kids to understand the meaning behind the thing that they have done or the thing that they haven't done. And of course, the meaning behind a simple thing, like I said there, not being obedient to parents, is that the next step from that as we grow older is that, will our parents trust us? Proved to me before that you can't be trusted. And that's a whole different conversation, isn't it? When we talk about, I don't do as mum and dad said, to getting a little bit older and saying, you know, I can't be trusted. And I can have the same conversation with young people when it comes to lying, for example. Most of us tell lies to get out of trouble. But what's behind telling lies is that if your friends know that you have lied, I would say to the little ones, then they're also going to say, I won't tell her or I won't tell him anything because that person can't be trusted. And trust then becomes a really big issue when we talk about the area of sin. Because the lack of trust usually comes around by somebody saying one thing and doing another. Just like the gospel tonight. I remember when I was much younger, I was asked to take a box full of rubbish out into the ploughed paddock away from the house to burn it. And I said, yeah, I will, I'll do it sometime, to my mother. And of course I didn't do it. And then she got angry and said, I told you to do that, now get out there and do it. And of course I dropped my lip and went out, and she told me to take it to the middle of the paddock and burn it, for obvious reasons. And of course, I took it to the edge of the paddock, where grass caught a light, And then the fire moved closer to the house. It moved to the big garage shed where the cars were. And just before that is the above ground petrol storage. That's the beauty of being the youngest of six boys. The other five came to the rescue and put the fire out before things went up. And whenever I hear this gospel, I think of that time in my life when I said one thing and did another, and the consequences could have been absolutely disastrous. But luckily, they weren't. So I just remind ourselves tonight that our promises, they can never, ever replace our performance. We can make all the promises we like, even, say, in marriage. We can make those vows, those promises, but if we don't carry them out, then they are worthless. And I've had the great joy, in a sad sense recently, of burying people who have been married for over 60 years, and one of the, either the husband or the wife is usually sitting there, and I've been able to say, you took those vows, those promises on 67 years ago, in one case, and you lived them out until the very end, until death came to part you. And that's the greatest compliment I think that I can give as a priest to a married couple, is to say to a couple, I see you living out those promises that you made, that in your early engaged bliss you would have had no idea of. Pete and Von, we'll talk about this a little later, okay, as your date looms closer. They're not even nervous, those two. But it's a great compliment for so many years of marriage to be able to say that to one party. We see you, especially, we see you living this out, especially when somebody's been sick. And they then get to, you know, the death does part them, but before that there was the in sickness and in health, I will love you and honour you. Those vows, those words are really important, but they have no value if they're not followed through. The performance far outweighs the promises. I always say that fine words are no substitute for fine deeds. I think that's really important. And I guess that's part of what the two readings, the first and the gospel, are about today. It's okay to change our mind. It's all right to get things wrong and go back and say, I'm sorry, I've had a rethink about that. But to change your mind is one thing. What Jesus is saying is we need a change of heart.